And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're currently in a sermon series on the Gospel according to John. And we have been in this series for at least a year and a half. Unfortunately, we're not going to be wrapping it up anytime soon. And that's because I'm going to take an 8-week break on this sermon series so I can talk about something that has been pressing on my heart that I believe I need to share with you. And let me tell you how this came about. Last Monday, I was over at my son's house babysitting my 3 grandkids, as I do every Monday and Wednesday. I was sitting at the kitchen table while my daughter-in-law was making breakfast for my youngest granddaughter. Well, out of nowhere, I mean, honestly, out of nowhere, I don't even know why, I asked her this question. I said, in your opinion, what are pastors not preaching on that they should be preaching on? Well, she didn't even hesitate. Now, for those of you who know my daughter-in-law, Rachel, she's a lot like her dad. Now, she wouldn't like me to say that, but she's a lot like her dad. And you all know Charlie Porter. She's a lot like her dad. They think things through before they say them, okay? And so I was shocked by her reply. She didn't even blink. She said, spiritual warfare. She said, ministers aren't talking about spiritual warfare. And then she went on to explain why. She said, most Christians in the church today have no real understanding of the spiritual battle that they're in. They do not recognize all of the deception around them. How the things that look innocent to them, innocent fun, are actually very spiritually dangerous. And then she went on to say, and for those of the, you know, and those people who know they're in a spiritual war, they have no idea how to fight it. And you know what? She's absolutely right. And I'm going to tell you where I think the fault lies. Right here, right there, right there, right there. The pastors. That's where the fault lies. Too many pulpits are silent on this. I mean, the majority of believers in American churches today have never been equipped to understand, to identify, or engage in a spiritual war that Scripture clearly describes. And that's why I'm starting a brand new 8-week sermon series called War for the Soul, Waking the Church to Spiritual Reality. And what we're going to do for the next 8 weeks is we're going to open up the Bibles. We're going to open our eyes to the battle that is raging all around us and inside of us. We're going to talk about the enemy. We're going to talk about the lies. We're going to talk about the temptation. We're going to talk about the armor we have available. We're going to talk about the weapons. And above all, we're going to talk about the victory that is already ours in Jesus Christ. Friends, it's time for the church to wake up. Because the war is real. And it's about time we start living like it is. And my prayer is that this series will be a divine alarm clock. It'll be a spiritual wake-up call for every believer in the church. Because again, most Christians today have no true understanding of the war they're in. They are just walking through life unaware that there is a battle being waged in their heart, in their mind, in their marriages, with their children, and with their faith. I mean, the average believer today lives like it's peacetime. When in reality, I've got news for you. Open your eyes. The forces of darkness are on the move. And it's strategic, it's relentless, and it's deadly. So again, over the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. Not what Ken Sommerfeld says about spiritual warfare, but what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. We're going to expose the enemy's tactics. We're going to take a look at how Satan is trying to use the world to pull people, especially Christians, away from Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about how Satan and his demons are trying, and they are, infiltrating the church. How they're deceiving families. And how they are numbing entire generations. But we're also going to rejoice. We're also going to rejoice in the truth that God has not left you and me defenseless. He's given us armor. Not only has he given us armor, he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his precious word, and he has given us victory in Jesus Christ through the cross. So, let's make sure you understand. This is not a series of fear. This is a series of truth. It's a series of urgency, and it's a series of hope. And my goal is not only to educate you about spiritual warfare, but to equip you. Okay? It's all about helping you wake up, suit up, and stand firm. So, if you're looking for something light and fluffy over the next few months, well, this isn't it. But if you're ready to see what's really happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, if you're ready to open your eyes and stand your ground for your soul, for your family, and for your faith, well, then you're in the right place. Because, friends, this war is real. And praise God, the victory is real too. Now, let me ask you something. If you knew that an actual war was ready to break out in your neighborhood, would you sit back in your recliner with a cup of coffee and just hope for the best? No. You would jump into action, wouldn't you? You would secure your home, you would gather your family, and you would prepare to fight. Well, friends, this is not peacetime. We are not living in a spiritual lull. Wake up. We are in the middle of a spiritual war, and many of the people in the church, they're sleepwalking through it. So I'm here to sound the alarm. I just want to grab some shoulders and just wake you up. My goodness, I want us to feel the urgency and the weight of the battle that we're in. But more than that, I want us to lift our eyes to the hope and power that we also have in Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who equips us. He's the one that strengthens us. And he's the one that will lead us into triumph. Friends, it is time to wake up. It's time to get armed. And it is time to fight back. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13 today. Now, in this 8-week series, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're starting off with the basics here. Today, we're talking about, I'm trying to convince you that this battle is real, that there is a real spiritual war going on for your souls and for the souls of your family. And let me tell you where it's really being fought right now. Satan's after your kids. He's after your grandkids. And if you don't see that, boy, are you blind. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. I'm looking out at every one of us. We either have children, we all have children, but some of you have small children, and many of us have small grandchildren. And boy, this should interest us big time, because Satan's after them. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let me repeat that. I'm going to repeat that 2 times. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're wasting too much time arguing about and fighting about the wrong things. but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. The Apostle Paul is not giving us a suggestion here. He's not giving us some devotional material that we can look at in the morning. No, he is giving us a command. And this command comes at the end of a deeply practical theological letter. Look at what he says. He says, finally, as in, this is what this has all been leading up to. You need to be strong in the Lord. You need to put on the armor. You need to stand firm. And why? The Apostle Paul says, because this war is real. The enemy is scheming. And you're already in the middle of the battle, whether you realize it or not. Now, the word that Paul uses for schemes here in verse 11 is the Greek word methodia. We get our word method from that. In other words, Satan has a playbook. He's not as chaotic as everybody thinks he is. No, he's calculated. He's tactical. He's shrewd. Do you really think he needs to scare us with red horns and pitchforks? You know what he does? He deceives you. He deceives you. That's his tactic. He makes you numb. Desensitized. How many of us are desensitized by all the violence that's going on in this country today? Amen. We're desensitized by it. We don't even, school shootings, we don't even lose sleep over it anymore because there's so many of them. And that's sad. And that's satanic. He makes us numb. He makes us distracted. Worse yet, he makes the church spiritually lazy. If he can keep the church entertained, if he can keep the church comfortable, if he can keep the church harmless, guess what? He's winning. I mean, my goodness, look at our world today. Look at all the demonic ideas packaged as entertainment for children. Netflix series like Lucifer or The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, they make the devil look cool. They make him look charming and misunderstood. How about TikTok? One of the worst things I think President Trump did is try to save TikTok. I wish that thing would die. That is the worst thing that has ever come out, TikTok. Now, you old people, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you're Facebook. It's all about videos. It's all about videos. All about videos that promote manifestations, crystals, astrology, witchcraft. It is all over TikTok. And friends, make no mistake about it, these things are no longer fringe things anymore. This stuff is mainstream. Do you know that you can go on Amazon and you can order a Ouija board goth Halloween witchcraft LED sensor nightlight for your child? $19.99. You can put that baby right in your child's bedroom. That's the war. That's the war. And let's not pretend that the church is untouched by this. How many churches today are compromising in the name of cultural relevance? How many pastors are standing behind the pulpits affirming lifestyles that this Bible clearly condemns? Amen. All in the name of love. All in the name of love. Worship in many churches today has become nothing but a show. The Word of God in many, many churches has become an afterthought. The Bible isn't even read in a lot of churches today. And congregations are spiritually asleep while the devil is sharpening his swords. The problem we have today is most Christians do not know how to think like soldiers. They think like spectators. They think church is a place that you get up in the morning, you put on your nice, well, nobody wears suits anymore, but you put on your clothes and things like that, and you go to church, and you go to church to get filled up. You go to church to feel encouraged. And then, after church, you go out to eat, and then you go home. And then next week, you do it all over again. They're nothing but a spiritual pacifist in the middle of a battlefield. Well, friends, I'm sorry, this is not a playground. When you walk in here, you're in a battleground. You're in a battlefield. You need to open your eyes and realize it. This is not a playground. This is not a place for you just to feel good about yourself. I'm sorry, you're in a war. Maybe I understand the analogy a little bit better because I spent 20 years in the Air Force. But you're in a war. And the stakes are eternal. Look at what Paul says. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Friends, this stuff isn't about politics. This isn't about left versus right or young versus old or male versus female. We're fighting the wrong fight. That's what Paul is saying. And it's been going on for a long time. This fight is against what? The rulers, the powers, the forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. This war is about souls. It's about truth and it's about eternity. And I really, really don't think that I have to stand up here and convince you that the day is evil, do I? Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and look at all of the confusion. Look at all of the corruption in our culture. Let me give you an example, and this one is very, very personal to me. Last June, during the last week of school in Eugene, Oregon, at the Arts and Technology Academy in the Eugene School District, District 4J, middle school students, not high school students, but middle school students were encouraged to celebrate Pride Spirit Week with a different theme each day intended to celebrate the LGBTQ plus community. Let me give you the week's agenda for this school. On Monday, students were encouraged to wear as many colors as they could for Rainbow Out Day. On Tuesday, they were told to wear all black day in remembrance of the lost members of the LGBTQ plus community. I'm not making this up. This is true. And I know it's true. Wednesday was drag day, where students were told to dress like a drag queen, a drag king, a monarch, or they could dress up as a different gender. Thursday was queer hero day, where students were allowed to pick their favorite queer hero, people such as Freddie Mercury of Queen and Brandi Carlile. And the week's events concluded with Pride Flag Friday, where students were told to dress up as the pride flag of your choice. By the way, did I tell you this was in my granddaughter's school? We've about lost our granddaughter because of this. Don't tell me there isn't a war going on. Don't tell me that this is a political shift. Friends, this is a spiritual war that is raging in the minds of your children and my children, your grandchildren and my grandchildren. And you know what too many Christian parents are doing? They're just hoping their kids are going to figure it out. Yeah. Well, they're not going to figure it out on their own. During the months of August and September, for my pastor's book club that I hold every quarter, we're going to be reading this book, The War on Children by the late John MacArthur. I want to read what the front sleeve or the front flap of this book has to say. This world has declared war on children. Every day on a multitude of battlefronts, Satan is deploying weapons of mass corruption against our children. Modern culture has been systematically designed with an agenda that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-scripture, intended to corrupt and consume young, impressionable hearts and minds. We are in the middle of a dangerous ideological conflict with eternity at stake. Christian parents cannot simply float passively along with the drift of our culture. We need to be aware of the threats in this world that we need to be aware of the threats this world poses to our children. We need to understand the enemy's battle plan and be ready for the next assault. We need to prepare our children for the attacks they will face from a culture intent on their destruction. As God's people, we need to teach our children God's word, train them in righteousness, participate in every aspect of their lives, give them wise and biblically based guidance, and above all, give them our extravagant love. Amen. Now, of all the books that John MacArthur has written, he said that this one here was the hardest one to get published. He said that many of the leading Christian publishers would not touch this with a 10-foot pole because he was covering way too many controversial stances on certain issues. But you know, friends, Satan doesn't just attack individuals. He targets families. He sows division in marriages. He uses pornography to enslave men and women, and yes, even in the church. He's redefining identity, convincing children that they were born in the wrong body. He's teaching kids to follow their feelings instead of following God's precious word. And while all of this is happening, you know what many Christians are doing? Scrolling through their phones, scrolling through their iPads. They're binge watching Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney, shopping on Amazon, and arguing over petty little things that really don't amount to nothing. Satan has been very, very successful at lulling us to sleep by comfort. But friends, this is not a time to be casual. This is a time to be armored. This is a time for us to fight back. Now, notice in our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul does not tell us to be strong in ourselves. He doesn't tell you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. What does he say? Be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Friends, I've got news for you. You and I, we don't have the power to win this war on our own. Do you really think that we can fight demons with our own human strength? We will get annihilated. We're not powerful enough. You and I cannot resist temptation by just sheer willpower. We need God. Amen. We need his strength and we need his armor. And let me tell you something. He's given us everything we need. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that during this series. But you know what the problem is? Too many Christians haven't opened up the armory. They're running around butt naked, spiritually naked. And then they're sitting there whining and crying, wondering, why do I keep failing? Why am I so weak? Why do I always feel defeated? Well, it's because you're naked. You haven't put on the armor. You're unarmed. That's why you feel defeated all the time. How do we wake up? Well, the first thing you have to do is recognize you're in a war. Stop pretending that life is neutral. Because I'm telling you, every moment is a battle for your soul and for the souls of those people around you that you love. Every decision you make, and make no mistake about it, every decision you make is either advancing the kingdom of light or you're aiding the kingdom of darkness. Make no mistake about that. Secondly, we need to repent of our spiritual complacency, our spiritual laziness. If you've been asleep on this battlefield, if you've let the world lull you into comfort and compromise, then it's time for you to wake up, confess it, and turn from it. Thirdly, you need to return to your first love. And friends, I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about loving Jesus Christ so much that you cannot stand to see his name mocked. I'm talking about loving your children and your grandchildren enough to protect their minds and their hearts. I'm talking about loving the truth enough to stand for it even when everyone else is bowing down to the world. And finally, resolve to take a stand. Oh, you may feel weak, but God is strong. You may feel small, but I got news for you. God is mighty. Oh, you may feel afraid, but you're not alone. So stand up, suit up, pray, read, lead, and resist. It tells us, take every thought captive. Guard your heart. And most importantly, fight for your marriage, fight for your kids, fight for your truth, and fight for the church. Amen. Charles Spurgeon had it right when he said this: to be a Christian is to be a soldier. The moment he becomes a child of God, you become a soldier of God. Amen. And that leads me to this question. Are you standing or are you sleeping? Are you armored up or are you naked? Are you fighting or are you drifting? Well, as I wrap this up, I want to encourage you to watch this movie. Looks pretty gnarly, doesn't it? The movie is called Nefarious. N-E-F-A-R-I-O-U-S. Anyone here ever see this movie? You guys. Did it wake you up? Yeah. It's available free on a streaming platform called Tubi. How many of you know what Tubi is? It's like Netflix. It's like Netflix. Go to your app. If you have a smart TV, just go to the app store on your smart TV, type in Tubi, Tubi will download, and you can watch. It's a bunch of 90 movies. It's awesome. All the movies that when I was younger, it is all free. It's all free. So go to Tubi, T-U-B-I, and type in Nefarious, and watch this movie. Now, I gotta warn you. Got to warn you, it's rated R. It's intense. You know how most production companies, Most production companies, they try to stay away from an R-rated movie, okay, because it really hurts a lot of people coming and watching it, because a lot of people can't come and watch it. They wanted this to be an R-rated movie. They were like, what do we have to put in this movie to make it R-rated? Because and look at how it's marketed. That's nasty looking. That is scary looking. It's done purposely. They want to hit these kids and the younger generation that love horror movies. Okay, this isn't a slash 'em up movie, is it, Tom? It's nothing like that. This guy is having a conversation. It's a psychiatrist having a conversation with a man who's possessed on death row. And it will open your eyes. They did a marvelous job of everything that I've been talking about today. And the guy who played the demon possessed man, that guy should get an Oscar. Nefarious, this movie serves as a powerful spiritual wake-up call. It's a reminder to us that the battle is real, that evil is relentless, but it also reminds us that Christ has already won the victory. This movie, it's an awesome movie. It challenges us to stand firm in the faith, to engage in the spiritual battle with wisdom and discernment, and to remain anchored in the truth of the gospel. Go home and watch it tonight. And then let me know what you think. Again, friends, the war is real, and that's all I'm trying to do today. Next week, we're going to talk about Satan's schemes. But today, I just wanted to show you that this is real. But the good news is, so is our God. Amen. Our God is real. And our God is more powerful than Satan. And we have a Lord and Savior who died on the cross, and he defeated Satan when he rose from the dead. As Scripture says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So friends, how about we stop pretending that everything is fine? How about we stop drifting? How about we stop sleepwalking through life? Don't you think it's time to take a stand? Because whether we like it or not, the battle is here. And by the grace of God, so are we. So are we to fight that battle. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, my prayer today is that you would open our eyes. Father, would you please forgive us for our complacency, for our spiritual laziness? Father, wake us up to the danger that we have ignored and the battle that we have neglected. Father, would you please strengthen us to fight in your power, not in our power. We will get wiped out in our own power, but Father, we will be victorious in your power. Father, make us vigilant. Oh, Father, make us bold. Help us to stand firm in the armor that you have provided. And remind us that this war may be fierce, but the victory has already been won in Jesus Christ. And it is in his precious name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we close this morning, please stand and join with me as we sing page 486, I Surrender All. It looks like we're going to be doing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. 486.